May the Lord help us to commence this evening with hymn 946. 946. How is our nature marred by sin, nor can it ever find a way to make the conscience clean or heal the wounded mind. Hymn 946.
From the Word of God, we'll read this evening three short passages. First of all, the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 25, reading the first 13 verses. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. Five of them were wise, and five were foolish. Then they that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight, there was a cry made. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, Give us of your oil, for our lamps have gone out. But the wise answered, Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And they that were ready went in with him to the marriage. And the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch, therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. Turn now to the first epistle of Paul to the Thessalonians, chapter 4. Reading from verse 13. First epistle of Paul to the Thessalonians, chapter 4, from verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others, which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, them also, which sleep in Jesus, will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Finally, we turn to the book of the Revelation, chapter 6, verse 12. Revelation 6, verse 12. And I beheld, when he had opened the sixth seal, and though there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black, as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs, when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together. And every mountain and island were moved out of their places. The kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men and the chief captains and the mighty men and every bondman and every free man hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us, and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? Lord, bless to us the reading of his word and help us now in prayer. Once more we come before our God. Once more his blessing asks. Oh, let not worship prove a load or duty prove a task. Grant, gracious God, thy heavenly presence and thy divine aid this night, and help us to worship thee aright, to adore by faith before our Father's feet, and to crown thee Lord of all, come in, Lord, and tarry with us on this the evening hour of thy day. Show us the things concerning thyself in thy word. Draw near, pronounce pardon and peace upon us. Lead us to the blood of atonement. Lead us to the peace which comes from Calvary. And prepare us, gracious God, to stand before thy face on that day we've been reading of in thy word. Grant to us the oil of grace. Grant, Lord, converting grace. Grant, Lord, constraining grace. Grant, Lord, continuing grace. And then, Lord, crown that grace with glory at last. In heaven above. Pardon and forgive our every sin. Clothe us in the righteousness of Christ. May we have, Lord, an interest in thy first coming, that we might be safe and ready at thy second coming. Speak to us, we pray, and give us ears to hear and to understand what thou art saying unto us. Bless, Lord, this church and people. Abundantly bless the provision of thy house here. Fill thy poor with bread through the ministry of thy word here. And grant, Lord, that this may week by week be a hungry, thirsty people who are satisfied with the goodness of the Lord, who feast on Christ. Bless them, Lord, in their daily lives. Provide for their every need. Guide them in every step of the journey. Bless each of them in their souls with faith and hope and love. Visit each with thy great salvation. Provide for them in providence, in the path that they must go here below. Supply, Lord, their needs that they have in their personal lives, in their family lives, in their business lives, in their church life here. May they know much of thy presence. Follow with thy blessing the Sabbath school this afternoon. May the seed sown take root, and may it live and abide and bear forth fruit. And do encourage them and help them to go on in that task thou hast called the teachers to exercise in. And do bless the children and the young people at school, at college, university, at work. Open doors that they need opening. Teach them to pray unto thee and to answer their prayers. May they prove a fullness of his eyes in Jesus our head, and ever abides to answer our need. The Father's good pleasure has laid up in store a plentiful treasure to give to the poor. Then, Lord, supply the needs of those in the midst of life. With its cares, its concerns, its labours, the heat and burden of the day, those doors that need to be opened, those decisions which need to be made, Lord, help them, give them wisdom, give them grace. Help them, Lord, as they have to face the world as it is, and all its hostility and ignorance. May their eyes be kept fixed on thee, Lord Jesus. And then, Lord, remember those in the evening time of life. Help them, Lord, as they deal with the limitations of old age, weakness, weariness, bereavement, loneliness. May, Lord, they be exercised to be ready for that day when thou wilt call them hence, to stand in thy immediate presence. In Christ's obedience clothe, and wash us in his blood. So may we lift our heads with joy amongst the sons of God. Crown with success thy gospel as it is preached here. Help thy servants and bless them. May the treasures of thy word flow through them to the people here. May, Lord, they receive their own portions also in their own soul as they minister to thy people. Remember those who are unwell and grant them healing mercies, we pray, and may they know thy presence in their afflictions. Send forth more labourers into thy harvest, we pray. Remember the deacons here and help them in their pathway. Be to them all that they need. Give them wisdom and help and grace. And bless and support them. And Lord, grant thy presence as we come to thy table at thy command and invitation. Lord, may we hear thee say, come, sit at table with your Lord. And eat celestial food. And Lord, if thou dost say come, it means thou hast already gone there before us. Bid us by faith, Lord, come into thy presence. May we adore at Emmanuel's feet. Behold the Lamb expiring for us. And Lord, we believe that yet there is room around that table for other sinners to come. Lord, bring those who feel to be beggars, for such are welcome to thy table. Draw them by thy mighty love, and show them that though they may be beggars in themselves, yet they are rich in thee. So, Lord, grant those gracious additions to thy church, we pray. And bless the churches in this land and throughout the world. And bless thy servants as they preach this night. Grant thy help to each. Crown thy gospel with success. And Lord, may many be able to say this day they have been with Jesus. And had a sweet foretaste of that eternal Sabbath yet to come. We ask for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Hymn 1109. 1109. Come, weary souls with sin distressed, come and accept the promised rest. The gospel's gracious call obey and cast your gloomy fears away. Hymn 1109.
Turn this evening, the Lord's help, to the Gospel recorded by Matthew, chapter 25, reading the first verse. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. This is part of the closing sermon of our Lord's earthly ministry. And how significant it is that he should choose this subject to preach on as his ministry comes to a close. The day of his second coming. A day which shall come. A day appointed and known only by God as to the day, the hour, the year, the moment. But a day which will come, an event which will take place, an event which you and I will attend. God has put this in your calendar, and you can't avoid it. Whether you believe it or not, whether you will be ready or not, whether you will welcome it or not, there is coming a day when this world shall be brought to an end, when God's purposes and God's work on earth will have been concluded, when the gospel ministry will have ended, there will come a last service on earth. There will come that last amen in that last gospel sermon, and then the word of God will never be opened to be preached again. Because God will have finished the work which he intended to do through that ministry. The last vessel of mercy will have been called by grace. The Lord's people will have been made ready for heaven. And when that moment comes, and not before, the trumpet shall sound. The dead shall be raised. And we will stand before the judge. And in that day, there will be a final separation between those who are wise unto salvation, and those who are foolish. And in that moment, we will be either eternally wise or we will be eternally foolish. Where will you and I stand in that day? Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. They all went forth expecting to meet the bridegroom, to have a favorable reception, and to be welcomed and received into that marriage ceremony and supper. But only half of them ever got there. The illustration, of course, is of a Eastern marriage. In the days when our Lord was on earth, a wedding used to take place and the ceremonies would take place for the whole week, 7 days. And due to the rules of about sexes meeting for eating, the men and the women would eat in separate houses during that week. And all the wedding guests, according to whether male or female, would meet in one of those two houses. And on the last day, on the seventh day, the bridegroom would come to meet and claim his bride. He would go forth with his guests. He would send forth a runner to the bride's house with the words, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him." And then the bride and her guests would go forth, and they would meet probably somewhere in the middle. And then the whole party would go to the house which the bridegroom had prepared for his bride, where they would live for the married life. The bride knew that the bridegroom would come on that seventh day, but she would not be told the hour that he would come. And it was the tradition, apparently, that the longer the bridegroom delayed, the greater the honour he was bestowing on his bride. So often it wasn't until the last hour of the day that he came. And therefore, they would need to have lights and lamps. And being in biblical days, of course, there were no electricity or batteries. They had to use oil. But the lamps were small. There wasn't room for much oil. And so they would take with them a supply of oil, which they would feed into the lamp to keep them from going out. And they would need to have enough oil to get from one house to the other. And apparently, in Eastern customs, it wasn't just to give light, to light the way, though that was one reason. But the second reason was that it was a Eastern tradition of wishing the bride and the groom a long life. Light in Eastern lands represents life. And if they went without a light, they were actually giving a deep insult to the bride and to the groom. That is the background to this parable before us this evening. A parable which the Lord says, "The kingdom of heaven is likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were wise, 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps." This represents all those who expect to get to heaven at last. But only half of them had a right to expect it. The lamp is a symbol of their profession, of their expectation, of their faith that they would get to heaven. Their profession that they were believers, that they were Christians, that they were disciples. But as we see, their profession was not enough alone. Five of them lacked one vital thing, and it could not be substituted. Even though their lamps were the same, outwardly speaking, if you met those 10 at the beginning of that journey, you would not have been able to discern between them. They all had probably the same shape, the same size, probably the same color of lamp. They all had what seemed to be oil in the lamp, because to start with, they had light. But when they needed it the most, for five of them, their lamps were going out. And they didn't stop going out until they'd gone out entirely. When they needed it most, for the lamp to be burning brightly, their lamps were gone out. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. Both the foolish and the wise, they were not watching. They were not looking. They were not waiting. For the bridegroom to come. And the church, by and large, is in a sleepy condition today. If there was one thing the Lord emphasizes in these last few chapters, it is that word watch. To be ready, to be looking for it, to be waiting for it. Are you watching? Or do we show by our actions we don't really believe it will happen at all? Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. It wasn't until that cry came that there was any discernment that there was a difference between them. The difference is the oil of grace. That's the difference. It's a work of God within. It is where our hope for heaven truly lies. If you were to ask, the unbeliever in the street who believes in heaven and hell, as apparently the vast majority of people in this country do, If you were to ask them what their hope was to get to heaven, I guarantee that to a man they would say to you, because I have done my best. I have tried to be a good citizen. I've tried not to harm anyone. They may even tell you they have tried to be a good Christian, as many of them do. I have done my best, and I hope that that will be enough. If you asked the Muslim, the Hindu, the Sikh, the Roman Catholic, the same question, they would almost certainly give you the same answer. And if I were to ask that question of you, what would your answer be? What is your hope for heaven? Those of you who are expecting to get there. Would some of you say, well, I come to the house of God, week in, week out. I'm always there when I can. I sit in the same seat as the wise. I enjoy their company. I love listening to the sermons. I read my Bible every day. I say grace before meals. I try my best. That's my hope. Beloved friend, if that's your hope this evening, you're among the foolish virgins. Because at heart, you are no different to those people who I was mentioning just now, the irreligious or those who worship false gods. When it comes down to it, your foundation is based on the same point. Yourself. And it may seem to be safe and secure this evening. But what about when this shout comes, behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. When you need it most in that day, if your hope is built on yourself, you will find that your hope and your light, which gives that hope, will go out in that day. And then, where will you be? We read in the book of the Revelation of that question. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? Friend, we cannot stand in that day on our own works. And remain standing. You say, why? Perhaps some of you are offended by what I say. Well, the natural man is offended by the gospel. Because the gospel humbles. Because there is no room for our pride. But it does not matter whether you are offended or not. Because in that day, it will not matter what you think. It will matter what the judge thinks. It is what Almighty God thinks. That's the point. And he will not change whether we are offended or not. Five of them were wise and five were foolish. It is not enough for us to say we have kept company with the house of God. In the house of God with his people, the foolish could say that. They were in the company with at least five who really were wise, who really were ready, who did go into the marriage. But it did not help them, did it? They could not get to heaven on the backs of the fact that five of them had oil in their vessels with their lamps. And we cannot get to heaven on borrowed religion. That is one of the lessons of these few verses. It says, foolish asked, give us of your oil, for our lamps have gone out. But they answered, not so. The wise answered, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you, but go ye rather to them at Sal and buy for yourselves. When they went to buy, the bridegroom came. They were ready, went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. We cannot get to heaven on anyone else's religion. Grace is personal. Grace is a gift. What is grace, you say? It's God's influence in your life. It's a proof that the Holy Ghost dwells in your heart. And if he dwells there, and if he's teaching you, and if you are really wise unto salvation, your answer to the question, what is your hope for heaven, will be this: my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on his dear name. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other hope is sinking sand. This is where the wise come to build their hope for heaven, not in themselves, but in another, and that one is Christ Jesus. They are brought to see that there is nothing we can do to merit favor. There is nothing we can do to unlock that door into heaven because we are sinners. And God cannot accept anything which has any sin mixed with it. Grace will teach you that. If you and I have got grace, we will not be allowed to rest anywhere short. But in Christ and in Christ alone. Some years ago, the then chief rabbi of the Orthodox Jews of Britain was asked a question. And the question was this. They said, given the fact that you live in a Christian land, what do you think And what is the Jewish Orthodox community's view of Jesus Christ? His answer was, we don't need him. He said, we apologize to God for our sins on the Day of Atonement and do good works for the rest of the year to make up. And that's our hope, but we don't need him. Friend, do you need him this evening? The reality is we do need him. But only those who are wise are brought to realize their need in this life. The five foolish realized their need of him when it was too late. And there will be a day when it is too late. The door was shut. We cannot seek for salvation after death or after the day of judgment and expect to find it. Now is the accepted time, says the word of God. Now is the day of salvation. Pray at a time when he may be found, we are exhorted. That time is now. But that time ends at the moment of death or on the day of judgment for those who will be alive in that day. And after that door has shut, he will no longer be found. Friend, if you need him, you'll be brought to pray to him. You'll be brought to seek this salvation. You'll be brought to realize that you are lost, ruined, undone, helpless, bankrupt, poor. You will see you have a debt to pay that you cannot pay for yourself, and yet it must be paid. And you will be brought under the teaching of the Spirit to be made, first of all, wise to what you are and of your need, and then wise of where that need can be satisfied. And all are brought to the same place. The Lord uses various and different means, but all in the end are brought to the same place. The person and work of Jesus Christ. In what he has done. In the life which he has lived. And in the death which he has died. That is our hope. That is the only hope for heaven. That is the only way we can find peace. The only way we can find forgiveness. The only way we can find safety in this day, which our text is speaking of. That is the oil which this parable is speaking of, the oil of God's grace. The work of God's Spirit within the heart, which takes a poor, ignorant sinner and makes him no longer ignorant. Which shows him his need, which shows him that he cannot supply that need himself, and brings him to Christ. And there is a difference. You know, a minister can stand in this pulpit and tell you the way of salvation, and tell you you're a sinner, lost, ruined, and that you cannot save yourself, and that the only way of salvation is through Jesus Christ. And at best, you will ignore it and go out the door and carry on as if you'd never heard that man say it. At worst, in your own heart, you'll rise up against it and hate what is said. But if the Holy Ghost through that minister says to you, you are the sinner. Thou art the man. You will not be able to ignore it. You will not be able to kick against it. You will be brought to accept it. You will be brought to believe it. It will bring you into a concern, an exercise, a need. You'll be brought to what that hymn said. Here, Lord, my soul convicted stands of breaking all thy 10 commands. And on me justly mightst thou pour thy wrath in one eternal shower. But thanks to God, its wild alarms have warned me of approaching harms. Now, O Lord, my wants I see lost and undone. I come to thee. And if this evening you've been brought there, thank God for it. It is a mercy if you've been brought there. Far better to be brought there now and to seek in a day that may be found than to be brought there in the day of judgment. If you've never prayed before, begin with this prayer. Lord, show me myself. And then pray the next prayer. Lord, show me thyself. That was how the Lord began with me. I was in a Sunday school in the summer of 1990. And the teacher told that story of a kitchen maid in Scotland who was taught to pray those two prayers. And I began to pray those prayers, and it changed my life. First of all, I was shown what a sinner I was. And then I was shown what Christ was. If you've never prayed, then begin with those prayers. Because it is in the answer of those prayers that we are made wise. In the wisdom of our text. Because until God teaches us, we will not seek. We'll seek for salvation anywhere but where it may be found. But we'll seek in vain. But when God the Holy Ghost deals with us, when he begins to give us of this oil, we will not be able to rest until by faith we see the Lamb of God living and dying for us. And those who are wise are brought to rest their hope for heaven entirely upon him. Some are given full assurance of faith. And they rejoice in their salvation. They live in the comfort of it. But some, their faith is not as strong. They have doubts, they have fears, they have tremblings. And yet, if you put them to the test, their foundation is just the same as those with full assurance of faith. It's in what Christ has done. And that is the point. The only difference is one has more comfort than the other, but they're both as safe as the other. Both, in reality, are as wise as the other, in a way. It's just one is given more comfort than the other. So this evening, where is our faith centred? Because where it is centred, where our hope for heaven is built, will be whether the door of heaven opens to us or not. We read this evening of that day yet to come. We read of those who flee from Christ, seeking a refuge in the caves and rocks in vain. If you go to the next chapter, you find a different picture. Here is the answer to what it is to be made ready for that day. These are they which came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, why? Because they've washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, for no other reason than that, are they before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. Nor shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. That is what we need, friends, to be washed in the blood of the Lamb. In other words, to know when the Lord Jesus Christ was punished on the cross at Calvary, when he shed his precious blood, and as he shed his blood, he was held to account for each and every one of his people's sins, to know that our sins was among that great number. And if it was so, it will be well with you in that day. Washed in the blood of the Lamb, clothed in his righteousness, that is the life he lived before his death on the cross. You're safe. Because you're on the ground of the covenant. And if you're on that ground, God looks at you. In Christ. And when by faith we are brought to Christ, he takes our sin, our guilt, our shame. He takes a punishment which is due to those sins which we have earned, which we have deserved, which we have merited, and is punished instead. He was held guilty instead, judged guilty and punished as if he had committed those sins himself. He took ownership of them, if you like, in exchange. He gives us his righteousness, the life he lived, and gives it to us as if we'd lived it. He takes our sin and gives us his life. And God looks on all his people in that way. That is why they can say, when he shall come with trumpet sound, Oh, may I then in him be found, clothed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. If you're washed in that blood, if you are clothed in that life, then you will stand faultless, guiltless, unrebukable, uncondemned and uncondemnable in that day. And then you'll be safe because you will be taken to that marriage. Shut in with Christ forever. May that be so for each one of us. Because to be left out, to be shut out forever is too awful to be contemplated. May God make us wise unto salvation. May we heed his own word. Watch therefore. For ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. Amen.
God willing, there will be a prayer meeting followed by a church meeting tomorrow evening. Mr. Graham Hadley is expected to preach on Tuesday evening. And next Lord's Day there will be a prayer meeting for the nation at 9 o'clock. And then Mr. John Rosier is engaged to preach if he's well enough. Let us close with hymn 119. Great God, from thee there's naught concealed. Thou seest my inward frame. To thee I always stand revealed, exactly as I am. Hymn 119.
do forgive. O Lord, all that thou hast seen wrong in our worship of thy great and holy name this day, thus far. Do now be with any who go on their way. Bless them, watch over, keep them. And be with us who now come to thy table to remember thy love, as thou hast commanded us to do till thou dost come. And remember those who watch from afar. Lord, may we eat and drink, and may others watch in faith. And may we have a taste of thy love. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the Father, the communion of the Holy Ghost, the Comforter, be with us now and forever. Amen.